I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Queer Talk, a queer podcast that brings you a regular dose of positive news stories and fabulous interviews. Hi!
We are bringing you a four-part mini-series from our recent Queer Talk live shows. Throughout the year, Mufsin and I have hosted a live version of the podcast at Above the Stag Theatre in Vauxhall, London. In part two, we let Foxglove and Jason rest their vocals and have a heart-to-heart with them on stage about their musical inspirations, aspirations, and whether the music industry supports up-and-coming queer artists enough. So, now for the karma. Well, it might not be that calm. It depends what we ask them.
Chaotic is the word.
The calm and the chaotic part of the show. We're going to interview Jason Kwan and Foxglove. Now, if you're feeling expensive, can we hear it for Foxglove, please, as she comes to the stage?
Hello.
Welcome. This normally takes place on Zoom, so it's nice to see pretty people up close and personal.
Oh, thank you for calling pretty.
If you're like crying, give it up for Jason Kwan. you've got a little something tucked into your trousers.
Oh yeah, I got tipped earlier.
So I should have said if you like being seduced, give it up for Jason Kwan. We got all your clothes coming off up here on the stage. It was very exciting.
I hope my junk doesn't pop out of this.
Everything supported?
We'll see.
Okay, so welcome, Foxglove and Jason. First of all, let's talk about the thing tying you both together and what we all just got a taste of, and that's music. I want to know, how did you both get into music and who were your inspirations or mentors? Foxglove, do you want to go first?
Okay, no pressure. I like grew up with a very musical household. My dad taught me to play guitar. It's very wholesome, very cute. And I just spent a lot of time in my bedroom listening to Scissor Sisters and wondering how my mum and dad didn't know I was gay. and then in high school, I was a massive like theatre kid and was in like musical theatre, always in the chorus because I was very shy in high school. But yeah, that's how I kind of got into music, and I went and studied it, and got me to where I am today. So
not shy anymore.
Not shy. Well,
demure.
Jason,
I did not grow up in a very musical household, actually. But I used to skip swimming class and listen to ABBA in my bedroom, and that was like the start of it all. As you can tell, like my music is very theatrical, and when I moved to the UK, I started training in jazz and opera. So it was like, for me, combining all these different elements of drama, theater, but then I fell in love with Grace Jones and David Bowie and Lady Gaga and Michael Jackson. And for me, I was like, oh, like, and Chaka Khan. Sorry, Chaka, I forgot you. But like, that was where I was just like, oh, I want to be sensual. I want to be expressive. I want to be really loud and I want to be really dark. Or that's like how I express myself. So that's how it kind of came about.
I like that you're looking up at Chaka Khan, like she's up there.
Because the last time I saw her, she was on stage being up there. So I was like, hey, Chaka. That's how I remember her. I was on the ground.
You are a huge Lady Gaga fan.
Oh,
your
yeah.
Your story at the moment is all House of Gucci.
I know, it is. Father, son,
same,
House of Gucci.
Though, honestly.
You've both covered Lady Gaga as well.
I've done two Lady Gaga covers because I'm literally like such a little monster.
We could do a little Gaga off, maybe. We should have put that into the plan, but...
including you doing karaoke.
Oh, of course. I'm always ready to do Born This Way. Okay.
Spencer's new single coming out next week.
Jason, you played some songs from your upcoming EP?
Yes. So the three songs I played, so Seduction, Give Me Up to Love, and sometimes, it's been so long, I can't remember, Sometimes I Cry. So I wrote them a while ago, and I released all of them during lockdown, and I almost didn't release them because I was like, I can't gig these songs, you know, everything's gone to shit. But I was like, it's all done. I'm going to put it out because I just really struggle to put things out. I really get really nervous and I get really worked up about it because I write my music for me. And then to like play it out, it's a secondary thing. But all the three music videos that I played you in full, I recorded and filmed during lockdown. And I worked on it with my Bit and Peach family. And we had no money, but we had passion. So we kind of put them together, which is really nice. And I got to put them out periodically through lockdown just to like give something to my listeners to be like, you know what, like I can't see you in person, but we're going to connect online and I'm still going to give you content because it's a dark time and here are some dark songs to get you through it.
Those videos like super high quality, by the way.
Thank you. And it's the talent of, you know, the Bit and Peach, who are performing at the RVT right now, who's my Pan-Asian drag cabaret family. Yes, give it up for the Bit and Peach. And they really took me under their wing. I moved to London with literally no money, knew nobody. When I met them, they gave me my first stage and I was their first headliner and it just kind of took off from there. As I'm really proud of them for putting all this together as well. So all the dancers you see, you know, the technicians, the directors, everyone is from the family of Queer Slasians. So
I should be over there.
Yeah, we really should be. What are we doing over here?
I remember seeing the Bit and Peach, but not on stage. It was a sports day at the RVT just around the corner.
Yes. Hey, we did pretty good.
Yeah.
I wasn't there because I don't sports. But apparently we did pretty good. But I'll be there cheerleading next year.
Foxglove, so have you had any collaborations or recent performances?
I just went on tour with Tom Aspall, if anyone knows Tom Aspall. Yeah, we love Tom. He's literally been like an angel, like fairy godmother to me. Like he literally like reached out to me and was like, do you want to come on tour with me? And I was like, yeah. And then like he asked me to be on his remix album as well, which was just fab. And yeah, I performed on main stage of Birmingham Pride as well. So I've been performing a lot over the last couple of months, which was really fun.
That's beautiful to hear, because like with Bit and Peach and Tom Aspall, like people supporting each other, is that quite common in kind of the performer circuit?
No, I'm joking. I don't know. I found it really supportive, actually. Like the queer music scene in East London, at least, I find very, very nice. Like when I first started releasing stuff and gigging, a lot of people reached out and were just very kind to me. I've not really had any bad experiences except for this one guy, but which we won't get into. But generally, I feel like it is important for us to uplift each other. And I do feel like people who've been in the game longer do help new people because we all tell very different stories and we all take up very different spaces, but we don't take up enough spaces. So for me, it's important. For Fox, I guess it's important for you as well to like lift people up and give people that stage, that platform, that opportunity as well.
And it's really nice as well because it's not only just like in like live settings like this, but there's like a whole community online of like queer performers, queer musicians, and like it just feels like a family, which is really cute and really nice. But unfortunately, unless it's an LGBTQ+ event, we don't tend to get booked because, you know, the cishet people get more privilege and more opportunities.
Those bad guys.
Boo.
Boo. Apparently, yeah, like apparently we're a separate genre of our own. And as much as I think that is important, it doesn't mean we should be gatekept from talking about love and romance and being expensive, you know? So.
Exactly.
So talking of being expensive, you released your EP Deep Dive, not Deep Jive, whatever you...
Deep Dive.
Talk us through the process and what did you want to say with this EP? You released it just at the end of lockdown?
Yeah, I have no concept of time, so I'm like, when did I release it? It was quite recent and I wrote the EP over the span of like 2 years. Like it took me a long time to write it. I wrote it with my old producer, Scott, and I used to live with him and it was just really convenient in lockdown because we'd just go to each other's rooms and like write, which was really fun. But the EP itself, it sounds really like disco pop and like fun and like camp, which is everything that I love in like pop music. But the music itself is all about like mental health and like grieving and like emotions that I've gone through over the last couple of years. So it's like a real deep dive, if you pardon the pun, into like my mind and the things I've been going through. And it was really just a way for me to kind of get it out in a fun and non-depressing way.
We definitely didn't feel depressed as you were performing. Good, we all had a good time, right?
Love that. Imagine if somebody was like, no. I was crying the whole time.
That was in my set, they were crying.
It was me. Me at the front, shedding a tear. It was so beautiful.
So your EP just came out. Jason, sorry to catch. When's your EP coming out?
Soon. Please don't be mad. I get very depressed a lot, and I spend a lot of my time crying, so I'm trying my best to like put it out. I'm currently in songwriting mode, so I hope that excites some people. But I have songs already recorded, mastered, ready to go. I'm just waiting for the right time. And I am nervous to put things out, so I'm always scared to put things out. But if you come to my show on Saturday, I might play you some new songs. Ooh, plug, plug, plug. But it's a fiver at the door. It's really chill. It's called Queer Off, and it's supporting a lot of queer musicians. Have you done Queer Off?
I haven't, but I've been you should in talks do Queer with Off. Them.
Yeah,
they're really fab, cool.
They're really fucking cool. Can we swear?
Of course.
They're really fucking cool. But yeah, the EP is coming. I promise you, next year you hear a new single, and I'm gonna put a new video out as well.
Good, because it does take time.
Oh, it takes a lot of time. Also, like, I have to work 5 jobs to like even do any of this. So please be patient as my paycheck comes in.
Performers do support each other, as we've established. With LGBT venues, like say London and Brighton, what are there any like struggles that you find with like getting booked for events in either LGBT venues or non-LGBT venues?
I mean, I'm really new to Brighton. I moved there in May, so like, I don't know if I can comment, but I lived in London for 7 years, and I feel like if it's specifically put on by LGBTQ plus people, like, there's many more opportunities and people are much more like enthusiastic to book you and want you to perform and want to pay you. And then outside of that, it's like, hey, do you want to do this gig? You have to pay like £30 and you have to sell 50 tickets and then you have to like, and it's like, ugh, just give us a platform, come on.
They make you
pay. Yeah, there's like literally like pay to play schemes, which is just bullshit, but yeah.
Don't do it. Any aspiring musicians, don't do it. Focus. Give your money to online promotion. That's just saying. But yes. I think there's like a wider conversation generally about pop music as well. Like, do you classify yourself as pop music?
Yeah, I love
pop.
Yeah,
so do I. Surprise. But pop music is very difficult to perform generally in London because you're either booked as a band and you have an indie band or whatever, or you do electronic, or you are on the top 40 charts and you do pop shows. There aren't really things in the middle. So pop artists already have this disadvantage. Now imagine being queer and marginalized. They're like, well, we're not going to book you. We're just going to book the straights. I was like, cool. And then imagine being Asian. And they're like, oh, no, we're going to book white people because we understand the culture better and we want their stories. So there are very different levels when we break down performing pop music. And so for things like Queer Talk to happen, for The Bit and Peach, for Queer Off, things like that, it's incredible. Because I always say, like, I kind of don't have interest in playing two straight audiences because I'm here to play queer people's stories. I don't need to play to like 10,000 people who are straight and are bopping. I care about that one person or two people who actually care what I'm saying and it actually affects them in a positive way. And for me, that's more important than like straights being like, yeah, sometimes I cry too. Like, cool, what are you crying about?
In the front, like, yes.
Yes, I was like, no.
So I think you both have very strong brands and like brand identities. You both have your looks, Foxglove, I think pink and purple tones seem to be just about everywhere. As, you know, for aspiring artists, particularly DIY artists, you know, artists that have to do it themselves who aren't just picked up by a label and, you know, rise to the top. How, you know, what kind of advice would you give to those, you know, new artists, aspiring artists to find their sound, their brand and their audience?
I feel like when I first started making music, I really thought that I had to fit into this like box of a lesbian musician. And if you think about a lesbian musician, you think of a lesbian with short hair with an acoustic guitar, and like that is who I was like 6 years ago because I was like, yeah, I'm a lesbian and I make music, so I guess that's me. And like that's fab. I love that, and I love me a bit of old school Tegan and Sarah, don't get me wrong. But like you can be more than that, and you have to just find what it is that you want to do. Like I spent so long doing like acoustic songs with a guitar and then like doing a gig and then going home and listening to like Madonna, Lady Gaga, ABBA, like Scissor Sisters. And then I'd be like, why am I not making like music like this, music that I enjoy? Like, why am I so worried about what everybody else thinks I should be making? Yeah, just find what it is that you want to do.
Was there like an event that made you switch your mindset on that?
I just literally just got tired of kind of like faking it, I guess. I was like, this is not me. I'm literally going back and putting on a full-on show in my bedroom to fucking Madonna. And then I'm going out with my acoustic guitar and being like, ding, 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 ding. And I was like, this is not me. Like, come on.
So kind of like when you were starting out with music, how did you share your music? Did you use social media?
I was on Facebook, and obviously times have changed and Facebook is less important. But obviously like social media has just like helped a lot. Like Instagram's helped a lot, I don't know about with you as well.
For me, it was performing live, actually, was the first time that I actually got any traction following. But like back to the point about musicians and like how to start out, I was very similar to you. I thought I was gonna be a jazz artist when I first started. I was like, yeah, like I've trained in jazz, like I'm just gonna, and I did the whole circuit of like, I would play piano and sing jazz and cover, you know, the standards. And then I was like, but at home, I was like, the first song I ever produced on my laptop and wrote and everything, my brother's here tonight. Give it up for my brother. But I remember playing this to him. And the song is basically like this pop song about how much I love Lady Gaga at the age of 13. And I was like, this is the type of music I'm making because I just want her to know how much I love her. And so that was the kind of songs I was making. And obviously it kind of developed into what I did not do now. But I really did fake it as a jazz artist because I was like, oh, I can never be this queer outside of my bedroom, right? Like, but jazz is something that's really accepted and understood. But then to the following thing, it was when I was really, truly committing to being queer and camp and theatrical and super dramatic that I started building a following because people were like, oh, like, no one is that expressive and extra as you are. I love it. I'm going to come again. So that's quite nice.
And it's like authentic as well because it's like what you enjoy. It's not what everyone else is like wanting you to do.
Yeah, I guess. Thank you.
Do you think that's one of the main disadvantages that you have to go through that journey of acceptance of yourself first before you can actually start being the artist that you are, rather than, I'm sure every artist goes through it, you know, a discovery phase, but do you think, you know, queer artists and marginalized artists are at an extra disadvantage because of that?
I think there was probably a little bit of internalized homophobia in me when I first was doing music and I didn't want to be perceived as like a dyke. And I was like, oh my God, like, even though I've got short hair and I dress like Ellen DeGeneres, I kind of don't want anyone to know. And then, you know, cracked out the acoustic guitar and it was like amplified by 10. So I think, yeah, finding myself really helped to find my sound as well.
Yeah, and the thing like with jazz, you know, I have an American accent, but I'm not American. I grew up in Hong Kong. I just went to international school. So I try to play off as like, oh, like I'm paying tribute to the American songwriters and all of this, you know, like I love black music, I love jazz music, and I was ready to do it for my whole life. But it was when I started to not shy away from being queer and not shy away from being Asian, because everyone's like, why do I have to talk about being Asian all the time? And I'm like, well, because you talk about it to me all the time, the way you treat me, the way you see me, the spaces you put me in, the dynamic I feel. So why don't I actually talk about it louder than you do and actually tell you what it is to be Chinese, what it is to be from Hong Kong, what it is to be queer and Asian, and what how we feel, how I feel, and really carve that space out. And the more I shove in people's faces of like, I'm queer, I'm from Hong Kong, the more people react to it in a good way because it's something that's just not spoken enough and we just are not loud enough because we don't get enough.
One of the first times I saw you on Instagram was when you did the Stop Asian Hate video. And that was one of my ears kind of pricked. I'm like, oh, okay, this person has something to say. And then for me, my journey of discovering you was like, oh, and they're a singer and they're a performer and they're fucking brilliant.
Oh, thanks. I mean, at the end of the day, like when I am performing, I find it very important to not shy away from things that are important because I do have a privilege of being able to stand here and sing for you. The Stop Asian Hate video was not something I wanted to do necessarily. I don't like talking that much on my social media. I like to just be like visuals, cool, glamorous photo shoot, song, repeat, club, another club. but I love that I just laughed at my own joke. That's how my mind works. But the Stop Asian Hate thing was really important to me because I was seeing so many of my siblings be affected by the narrative around COVID. And I thought I would share it because I had a platform to do so. And honestly, it's a relief to be able to like connect with people like you and connect with other people who experience similar things, because it helps me feel not alone and hopefully helps other people feel like they're not alone either.
And Foxglove, do you have any like social causes that you kind of champion through your music or through your online presence?
I just am always trying to advocate for the LGBTQ plus community because obviously I'm part of it, if that's not obvious. And just like, I don't know, I just really believe in like equality and inclusion and diversity and using your platform to kind of like share other people's stories and not necessarily just your own narrative, and like trying to learn as well, even if it's not through my music, it's on my like social media, and just me in general. My mom, when she was like carrying me, was like at protests and I was like in her womb like, yes, fuck the Tories. So yeah, I'm just here for a good time for everybody.
And we were able to create Queer Talk, and it literally is about hearing other people's stories, because we've said it a million times, but we learn every single episode, you know, and it's so crazy to hear what, you know, someone who's disabled, how they experience a club, someone, you know, lesbians, how they don't have spaces to hang out in, even in London, where everyone's like, oh my God, but it's so inclusive here. Like, you've got Soho, but like, there's still nowhere for them to go. And it's so interesting and important to learn from people who aren't just us, you know, not to be in our own bubble, not for me to just go, oh, I'm gay, so I should support gay causes, look at what's going on with the gays, and forget everyone else. So I'm really grateful to both of you for pushing those messages in your work, and all of the stuff that you do online as well. You said you both found yourself and you're finally making music that you want to make. Do you ever feel pressured to kind of move away from that in order to break into the mainstream?
I don't know, it's difficult being like a woman in the LGBTQ plus community in music, because I feel like I got the most amount of compliments like 2 years ago when I was like a lot thinner, and like I don't know, I felt more like people paid more attention, and like obviously over lockdown like people put on weight and things like that, that's just normal, but like sometimes I feel the pressure to be this skinny platinum blonde like beautiful woman, and sometimes I'm like, I don't really know if that's me, you know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Babe, the pressure is real, but you are beautiful just the way you are.
Oh my God, don't make me blush. Stop. No, carry on.
I guess for me, yeah. It's difficult because I don't really see myself in the mainstream, but I really want to be, right? Like, you see queer Asian artists, like, name one. Okay, struggle. Rina Sawayama, right? That's like the only one we have in the UK currently who's like making it big on the charts. But not even that big. You know, like, she's doing incredible work and is being given the exact kind of kudos that she deserves. But she should be way fucking bigger. To see someone like Rina, Chester Lockhart, these people who make incredible queer Asian music, be queer. Like, I love K-pop. I love J-pop. But the amount of people who cannot come out of the closet because of the culture makes it very difficult for queer Asian people to exist. I have no interest in making straight music in a closet. I could have joined a K-pop band. I said no, because I knew I would hate it. With the music I've been making recently, I have fallen into that, like, oh, I'm going to make a really, like, accessible song where I don't belt all the time, and I'll sing at a tenor key, and I will tone down the drums, and I'll make it a little bit more like boppy. And my producer's just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? And I cried. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing this. He's like, do something you actually want to do. And let's make it really hot and really sexy. Why don't we start from there? But there is a lot of pressure. Because when you don't see yourself in the mainstream, you think, oh, I'm never going to make it. But do I want to strive to the mainstream? Yeah, for sure. Because if I can keep pushing queer Asian spaces and carve it a little bigger, that's what I want to do. And I feel like in the underground scene, that's what the Bit and Peach have done. You know, they have made space that has not been there before. And I think that's really important, just to, like, make space for other people, not even for myself. You know, if, like, in 6-7 years, queer Asian artists are all over top 40, they'll be fucking incredible, right? Hopefully it happens in the next 6 months when I release my next single. But but it's important to keep doing this groundwork, you know?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Just one more question before we go to Q&A. Are there any other artists that we should be looking out for?
So many. I'm going to plug two of my dearest friends, Huru, who is just fab, and Katie Wood, who is fab. And I'm also going to plug Tom Aspall, because Tom's just been such an angel to me, and he's a black country icon like me. So, yeah.
Can everyone just get their phones out and write these names down? Like,
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, go for it. Like, also, right, add now. Us to the list.
Yeah. Foxglove.
We should have put up on the screen.
Imagine if I was just like Foxglove. F-O-X.
I'm not being funny, but at the last show we did just that. And that's the best way to support queer artists.
Love it.
So get your fucking phones
honestly
out, please. Come on, take pictures. Take,
you know,
a picture,
how often
please.
Brands and agents come to me and are like, how many followers do you have? And I'm like, why does that matter? People like when I perform to them. And they're like, nope, it matters. So literally you following, if everyone follows us in the room today, it will really help us tomorrow, even if it's just one follower.
Does that not like affect your artistry? Like, you have to be an influencer to be an artist, a successful artist.
Yes. The amount of times people ask me, have you reached like 100,000 TikTok followers yet? I was like, no, because I don't use TikTok.
No, I have like 50 because TikTok is impossible. I see people on TikTok being like, to the older generation who were born in like 1999. And I'm like, sure.
So an incredible artist. I don't know if you know her. She's called Lady Gaga. Follow her. Go see House of Gucci. I'm joking.
Queer artist.
Rina Sawayama. If you don't know Rina Sawayama, you're going to lose your mind just listening to her. She is absolutely incredible. I really want to plug my friend Shivam Sharma, who, the way Shivam makes me feel when he sings, my God. Shivam Sharma is incredible. I want to plug Andrea DiGiovanni, who was on Birmingham Pride main stage. Just like two really inspiring people for me, and they've really challenged me to push me forward, and the music they write is fucking incredible. So check them out.
And what's your at?
At Jason Kwan Music, K-W-A-N.
And Foxglove is Foxglove.
It's at Foxglove, but I spell it really edgy. So it's F-O-X-G-L-U-V-V.
Hiya, Foxglove, I wanted to ask you, I hate my voice. How did
I love your voice.
Thank you. How did the name come about?
When I was growing up, my grandma and granddad had loads of like foxglove flowers. Does anyone know foxglove flowers? They're really pretty. They're like purpley, like, yeah,
like
pretty
tall
flowers. Yeah. And I found out that they were like poisonous, quite badly poisonous. And I was like, ooh. It's really pretty and pink and dangerous, and I'm literally a Pisces, so like I'm not dangerous at all, but I like found that out and was like, oh my god, Foxglove would be a really cool name. And then I just decided, because I was like an edgy like stoner at uni that was like, let me spell it differently. And that's just how it came about. So yeah,
I'd like to know from both of you actually, what is your your favourite gig you've done, not necessarily like your favourite venue, but like the best vibe, best audience, just like the best time you've ever had on stage.
Queer Talk.
Apart from today, you're not allowed to say today.
I think I'm gonna go from, I'll just say my favourite gig this year was when I performed for Queer House Party, because I got to bring my band. And that's like really special to me, because my band has supported me throughout the years. And when I moved to London, one went off to be a data analyst and the other went off to be a consultant in coding. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna be really poor and make music. So for me to be able to be on a big stage and bring them in was great. And I was the headline act. Thank you. But then right after me, Ollie Alexander played. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm not the headline act anymore. But it was a really amazing night because I really got to celebrate being queer and be with my band. So that was my favorite night.
I have two recent ones, not including Queer Talk. That's obviously in the top three. I was on the main stage of Birmingham Pride, which was a full circle moment for me because I used to go to Birmingham Pride when I was like a baby gay in the closet. And I performed like one of the first years that I went, but it was like my friend playing acoustic guitar for me. And I was just singing like covers like Jessie J and Ed Sheeran. This is pre-coming out, obviously. And then, yeah, full circle moment. I performed main stage Just Gone at Birmingham Pride. And I also, when I supported Tom Aspall on his tour, we performed at the Royal Vauxhall Tavern, which like is a legendary venue. And I was just gagged the whole time because I was like, Freddie Mercury and Princess Diana have been here. Oh my God. So yeah, those were my favorites so far.
Hello. So with lockdown, so I know you both said that you really enjoy performing live and that's like what you thrive off of. So how did you deal with the lockdowns? And like, I know you said you didn't like TikTok, but that was like a big thing. Like, I love lesbian TikTok personally.
Me too.
But like, how did you like adapt to that for like the past like couple years?
It was difficult. I mean, I did a few Instagram live gigs. I got asked to do a few Instagram live gigs and I was like, yeah, of course. Oh my God, amazing. And then the reality of it was I was in this tiny, tiny room, literally the size of a double bed in London. And I was just stood like at the end of my bed in the corner by the door with like a little backdrop behind me. And I was like on my own, just like, thanks. Like it was really weird, but like it was really fun and different. But nothing compares to like being in front of people and like having the energy and like having fun with people. I don't know about you, but it was just stressful, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't like doing things online because I feel like it's very hard. I don't have the right tech for it. But lockdown for me was pretty tough, to be honest, which was probably everyone's experience. I also have a day job. So I work at a homeless LGBT youth charity and I support homeless young people. So I didn't really have the furlough thing or the break. And it was really hard because when you're homeless during a lockdown, that is fucking tough. So I wasn't very inspired. I was just really depressed throughout the whole thing. But I played a lot of Animal Crossing. I watched a lot of Produce 101. And I just like really try to get myself in a place where I could relax and not have to stress out about being productive. But when things started opening up again in like June, that's when I started to record things again and just like play live. But it was really scary playing live again. Because I was like, I haven't sung in so long and I haven't played piano in so long. I wonder if my voice is still there. And it wasn't for the first two gigs and I had to like really like get back into rehearsal. But there's nothing like connecting with an audience. And I would love to chat with all of you afterwards if you would chat with me. Because for me, like I've shared my story with you. I feel like it's only fair if you share your stories with me. So please tell me about all your struggles afterwards. I'd love to hear it. And then I'll write a song
so
about
cute.
It.
So cute.
I'm just slightly obsessed with anybody that writes and creates. You both write your own material. I once heard a songwriter say that they don't listen to anybody else's music when they create because they don't want to be influenced. So I just wondered for both of you, what sort of environments do you need to go into that? You mentioned you were in a songwriting space. Yeah. What sort of things do you need? Do you need quiet? Do you need isolation? And did the pandemic affect your writing in any way?
I do listen to artists when I write music. I think it's really, I don't know, I think artists are incredible human beings. Going to live shows is what inspires me the most because hearing it live and then vibing with the crowd, that's what really gets me going. It reminds me like why I'm doing it because I want to play music live. That's like the main thing. And if I could only do one thing for the rest of my life, it's to sing to a live audience and have them vibe. But in terms of my process, I'm trying something new. I was telling Fox Love backstage, but usually I write when I'm like, oh my God, I'm inspired. I'll sing onto my phone. I'll play on a piano. I'll produce it. It's done. But I'm currently in a stage where I'm like forcing myself to sit and really think and contemplate and write something without just being inspired. But has anyone read the works of Rainer Maria Rilke? He's an incredible, incredible, I really want to encourage you to read him. But he is a philosopher and a poet. And he talks a lot about solitude. And I, as an introvert, love solitude. So I'll often will put myself into a room. I'll turn off my phone. I'll shut the curtains. I'll just sit there. I'll sit there thinking. Well, I'm left-handed. So I'll sit there and I'll sit there thinking about what do I want to say and how am I going to say it? And a lot of hours will be very unproductive. But just to be in my thoughts is important because we're so used to distracting ourselves all the time. We never really sit down and focus on things. So
I just spent the whole time listening to your answer and not thinking about mine. So now I'm sat here like, oh, it's my turn. No, I used to live with my producer, and in lockdown lived with my producer, and it was super, super convenient, super easy. And then I moved to Brighton, and he was like, I'm going to take a step back from producing, work on my own stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. And now I'm like at the point where I'm like, oh, I've got to produce this myself, which was scary at first, but now I'm kind of like embracing that and teaching myself how to kind of like write from just the original idea and not like what other people are kind of feeding to me. So that's been really new and really interesting. In terms of like the vibe and listening to other people's music, if I'm writing for a specific project, I'll make a playlist of songs that fit that vibe, and I'll listen to that playlist until I'm like, I never want to hear another King Princess song again in my life. And I'll just keep doing that and like get the vibe.
I'm the same with reference playlists. Music is something that's existed forever, right? I'm not going to come up with something completely original. So it's important for me as an artist to do my research and be like, okay, what's already been done? And how can I do it more interestingly and challenge myself? Because what's the point in writing a song that's already been written? There's no point in putting a song out that's already been done. If you follow me on Spotify, you can see some of the playlists I put out for some of my singles. But it's good to like do a research because you just push yourself much further.
And if you're feeling stuck as well, then you can kind of revert back to the playlist. Not like steal. Like I don't listen to like a Lady Gaga song and think, I'm going to use the lyric Born This Way. But like you'll listen to it and you'll hear like a sound and you'll be like, oh, that sounds really cool. I wonder if I can do something kind of similar to that and like put a twist on it. And it's just a really good way to kind of keep yourself inspired.
So with going back to TikTok, there's been loads of stuff on there about queer baiting, and then we've had stuff about events, capitalising on queer culture, the Pink Pound, etc. My question to you is, have you ever felt like you've been negatively asked to amplify or exaggerate your queerness to suit an agenda at a gig or at a concert, at an event? And how has that made you feel, / how have you dealt with it?
I can't think personally if that's ever happened to me, actually, which I feel very lucky to say that, because I know for a fact that a lot of people have had things like that happen to them, or they felt like they're the token act in whatever capacity. But I, you know, touch wood, that's not happened to me yet, I don't think.
I tend to play very safe queer spaces. I've not really done many straight gigs, because I'm just not interested. But I have been fetishized for being Asian a lot. And people will be like, oh, can we like push, just like be more Asian? I was like, what do you mean? Do you want me to like wear a kimono? Like, I'm Chinese. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, being on stage and having my skin color already is being Asian. I'm telling Asian stories. We're like, no, just like wear like some... And sometimes I do play into my heritage and my culture, but that's when I choose to perform it, right? I have been in situations with producers where they will listen to my sound. They're like, oh, like this is very like, you know, Queen, 80s, glam, rock, stadium rock. I was like, yeah, that's what I want. They're like, okay, but have you heard the new BTS song? I was like, yeah, I love BTS. Why? And they're like, oh, well, like that's a great sound to chase, don't you think? I was like, I don't make top 40 tropical pop music just because I'm East Asian looking. It doesn't mean I am automatically a K-pop band because that's what's selling. Like, I'm not even Korean. So in those situations, I have been asked to be more Asian. But every time I have done it, I have used the opportunity to tell the story really well, because there's nothing wrong with being Asian. It's fucking amazing to be Asian. And so when I have been given those opportunities to push my Asianness, I'll fucking give it to you. I'll shove it in your fucking face till you tell me to stop, because it will help other people who want to hear the story.
And I've had like the opposite. I don't know if you've had the opposite. People have been like, tone it down.
Oh yeah, all the time.
Like pre being Foxglove, like I've had people be like, oh, can you just sing like he pronouns and sing about men? And I've been like, what?
Question for Foxglove. I just want you... You've got great delivery and great timing with your voice and everything.
Thank you.
And I just wondered if you've ever done stand-up comedy.
Do not feed my ego. I'm like, oh my God, stand-up. I could try now. No, I'm joking.
Oh, go on, try.
Oh my God, no, I haven't ever done that, because I don't consider myself to be funny. I just consider myself to be embarrassing and to talk a lot of shit. But thank you. That's so sweet. And you never know. Maybe I'll take that up one day.
I'll come.
Get a bit of coin from my stand-up gigs. Thank you.
New career opportunity.
Oh my God, if songwriting and music fails, I'm here. Book me for your stand-up gigs and I'll tell like one joke.
Has everybody had a nice time? Did everybody love Foxglove's set before? Yeah. Did everyone enjoy being seduced by Jason Kwan?
That was our final show, but don't worry, we have more lives coming up in 2022. So please make sure you keep an eye out on socials for when tickets go live. I might actually invite Foxglove back because she was just so naturally funny when we were talking to her on stage. Like, I would love being on stage with her. No offense.
You can replace me. That's absolutely fine. I feel like Jason Kwan was giving us real Sex Factor as well. Jason told us after the show that they would have stripped completely if the audience had asked politely. So in future, if you see Jason Kwan, you know what to do. So for everyone listening, you can follow and support Foxglove on Insta at Foxglove, and you can find Jason at Jason Kwan Music.
And don't forget to tell us if you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, don't go on our socials. but yeah, don't forget to let us know if you've listened to the show on socials. We're on Instagram at @queer_talk, and on Twitter you can find us at @queertalk_.
Until next time,
bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.